We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
You're just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle. Come on! Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
All righty. This is hour three. Don't you just love football season? The shows just fly by. Get in here and you get talking about football. We're ready in hour three of Dusty and Cam in the Morning. If you missed anything from the first couple hours, once this is over, just go back and listen to the whole thing. Start from the beginning.
Sure.
Better you today. Les Schwab Tires podcast on 1080thefan.com. Yeah. We're
almost ready.
We're almost ready. You almost ready?
Luke, we're almost ready.
You almost ready?
No, we're. I mean, just.
You okay?
Just hold on here.
You okay?
Just pretty hold, okay? Just hold on for a moment.
It is time for.
Yeah.
The Bells and the NFL Challenge.
The competition is keen.
I don't know, fellas. I think there's potential in this crowd.
Every game counts.
We're going to put a game plan together and we're going to win.
That's why Dusty and Cam have poured countless hours of research into their pro football predictions.
It was fiercely fought, but frightfully flawed.
Well, anyway, this is the Fans Pro Football Challenge, a competition between the Fan Air staff, the Junior Fan Genius, and you. Brought to you by Encore Audio Video. The Pro Football Challenge with Dusty and Cam. And, Bucks here too, on 1080.
Let's go find out if they're ready today.
The Fan.
That's the kind of production value you need to put in to know your foe. Well done. Ready for the games.
No, I'm not a rah-rah kind of guy. I'm not.
That doesn't make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. You ain't living. You just ain't living, man.
All right. Well, I'm living.
L-I-V-E-N. Live it.
You living?
Living.
We also
man.
Have Buck.
L-I-V-I-N.
All right. Do you guys keep track of this throughout the season? My picking
that would be a no, Bob.
Okay.
Well, you know what keeps track of it though is the Facebook group.
The Facebook group.
Yeah, or the Facebook. Not group.
The Pro Football Challenge on 1080 The Fan.
Can't you sign up through Facebook?
That's right. I don't know. I signed up right on 1080thefan.com. That's how I signed up for my Pro Football Challenge. You should do the same at home. You can play along with us, play against our on-air team and other listeners. And the best listener will get a new surround sound system and Blu-ray player from Encore Audio Video. And this thing is nice.
God, so go out and get some. Life is good. Life is good. Football's here. Sounds are here.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick five of the games being played this weekend, and we start with the Thursday night game. It kicks off tonight, 5:20 p.m., Green Bay Packers at Chicago Bears. You can complain about Thursday night football the rest of the year. These teams will not be depleted. They will not be tired. They'll be ready to go, Cam.
Yeah, so you know what? We're not degenerate gamblers. You might be. Buck is. I know he's a degenerate gambler. We don't pick against the line. We pick straight up. So all those other jackwagons and party poopers that want to pick against that, that's fine. You go do that.
Yeah, this is how the NFL Challenge keeps score when you play it with us on the Fan. So we're picking them straight
up. If you
want
to be like the other guys that host shows and pick against the line, you go pick against the line.
Yeah.
I don't care. But we on the Football Challenge, we pick them straight up.
All right.
And I'm straight up taking the Pack Attack.
Ooh, Pack Attack. Yeah. What's your reason? What's your logic?
Well, it's one reason and one reason only. Aaron Rodgers is salty. He had a bad year, got his coach fired. He's in rebuild mode. I think he's going to be up for the NFC MVP this year. So I think he's going to have that kind of season.
Okay.
So I feel that the Packers, and I think this is a good football game. This is going to be a good football game. I'm not saying that the Bears are garbage. I lean on a little bit of quarterback experience. That's it.
Works for me. All right. Who you taking there, Buck?
Yeah, I'm also going to take the Packers here. I think that there's been probably too much made of this whole LaFleur-Rodgers power struggle. I think they're probably going to do just fine together. And like Cam brought up a little bit earlier, I am a little bit worried about the Bears' defense taking a step back without Vic Fangio in the fold. So I like the Pack.
I had this as a toss-up in my mind. I picked the Packers. Both of you going with the Packers as well. So I will switch my pick officially on 1080thefan.com to the Chicago Bears.
Bears.
Facial on the floor. Total facial.
Defense wins. I know that that it's early in the season, and that's a lot of times when you see the offense flying high. But I do have this as kind of a toss-up, and I think Khalil Mack is the guy that you need to lead this defense, not necessarily your Chuck Pagano of the world, Fangio. So I'll go with the Bears just to be contrarian. All right, Sunday afternoon, the 1:05 kick right here on the Fan. Bengals at Seattle Seahawks. We'll start with you again, Cam.
Ooh, the Bengals at the Seahawks. Yeah, this isn't close. sorry, this game is not. I'm not on the Red Rider. I'm not with it. I'm sorry. I know a new coach. I get it. Cincinnati. I don't. I hate the Cincinnati Bengals. I hate the Brown family. Everything about that. Seahawks roll.
Yep. Buck, you on the same pick there?
Sweep it. I think we all agree.
Yep, 100% Seahawks winning that one. No faith in the Bengals. First new coach in 16 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Holy cow. All right, we've got the Sunday night game, which is going to be fantastic. Your Super Bowl champion New England Patriots taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's sans, the Steelers.
Sans Antonio Brown. She's in with her pick. I don't know who that is. Cam?
You go first.
All right, I'll go first.
Let's change it up a little bit, dang it.
I'll go first. It's obvious. The Steelers are going to win 28-24, and everybody is going to lose their mind. The Patriots' run is over. Tom Brady will not look sharp in the fourth quarter, and everybody will say he's too old to play, and they will go on to win the AFC again, but they will not win this football game. Overreaction time.
It's overreaction time.
Who are you taking?
Buck.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually going to go with the Steelers as well. I think that they are in. I mean, did you actually take the Steelers there?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. There was a backwards way of talking that I thought you might have backed into a Patriots pick, but okay.
Nope.
Steelers, I'm with you. It seems like the Patriots always stumble somewhere out of the gate. First one, two, three games somewhere in there. Obviously, they can win this game. They can. I think that Belichick probably can outcoach Tomlin. But for whatever reason, maybe this is the hiccup. I'm going to take the Steelers, and then you're right. I think Patriots end up going on a run.
Yep. Cam?
Okay. This is my only humble brag moment. Okay, so in 2002, we opened up as the Patriots, opened up Gillette Stadium against who? The vaunted Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's the Steelers.
We did it. I said we. I could wee this up like there's no tomorrow. I played in the Jax group, which is Jax, which was multiple tight ends, but I was in the Jax personnel. I had 7 catches on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, with Tom Brady. We kicked their backside up and down the field. The Steelers had no idea it was going to happen. And again, this is going to happen as the Patriots are going to kick the crap out of the Steelers. I still think the Steelers, not the kick crap, they're going to win the game. Steelers are going to win the division. Yeah. I think they win the AFC North. No. I do, but I'm not going to bet against ever that group that they have. I think it's going to be a good football game. I mean,
win
we know that
one.
The Steelers shoulda, wouldas. They had a fumble away from winning that football game last year. This is going to be a great football game. It's on Monday night.
It's Sunday night.
Sunday night,
best
but it's tons of nostalgia.
Football. Yep,
it brings it back. Excited about this football game.
Perfect. Two Monday night games in week one, as always. The Houston Texans start things off a 4:10 kick at the New Orleans Saints. Texans, Saints.
Buck,
why don't you start it off this time?
Ooh, I would like to say the Texans because I think now with Andrew Luck's injury, they may be the front runner to win their division. And I think the Saints may take a little step back this year after all the referee controversy that ended last year. But I think playing in the dome, you said this one is in New Orleans, correct?
It is.
Mm-hmm. For that reason and that reason only, I am taking the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints are a regular season juggernaut. They win a lot of football games. I think that they have a little little something to prove coming back. You mentioned the how they exited the playoffs last year. Texans, yeah, they'll be good, but I think that division is very much up for grabs with Andrew Luck gone. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I will take the Saints to come out and make a statement that they want one more run with Breeze, which they've tried to do 4 years in a row, and they'll continue to do next year probably too. But one more run with Drew Breeze.
So I always try to take a realistic look at this, and I look at the veterans, or I also use an example of who's the better quarterback. In my mind, Drew Brees is the better quarterback. That gives me an edge to the Saints. Who's a better running back? Alvin Kamara, better running back. Who has a better receiving corps? Well, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, that's a toss-up. Those two are elite. Those are two are the best two in all of the NFL, and you can't argue against that. The sway, just like anybody says, is that home field advantage, and knowing that the Saints have a massive chip on their shoulder, I don't think the Texans are bad on defense, but I don't think they're going to be able to handle the Saints on offense. This is going to be a very good football game again. That's why the line is 7, and I think it comes down to the fourth quarter, but I got to lean on the Saints on this one.
Works in the final game of the first weekend of NFL football ends with the Broncos at the Raiders, the darlings of the Hard Knocks circuit. John Gruden needs to have a better year too, you would expect. Who you taking?
The biggest advantage the Raiders have is they play in a dump, but it's their dump. But they also will be playing on a baseball field, which is another big advantage for the Raiders, because I don't think the Broncos are anything special. I don't. I think the Raiders are going to be better. I know that the running game Vic Fangio is going to be a better defensive coordinator, certainly what they're doing with. I have no idea. I just believe that the Raiders are going to be better because I want them just for the sake of good
it's
for
more
football.
Fun. Yeah.
And they're playing on that crappy baseball field for the last year. So let's give me the Raiders.
Buck, who are you taking?
I'm going the other way. I'm going Broncos mostly because I just, at this point, can't pick for the dysfunction of the Raiders from what you've seen.
Because you're a 49er fan, but okay, I appreciate
My rival's the Seahawks, I think that Denver's defense is enough, especially now with Fangio there. Obviously, you've still got Von Miller. You've got Bradley Chubb. I think that they're going to make things tough on Derek Carr. I don't know that Antonio Brown's even going to be... I don't know you can rely on him for anything at this point. Until we see that, I'm not ready to pick for them. So, being that it's a pick 'em, going with the Broncos.
I'm going to take the Broncos as well. You have Joe Flacco, who won a lot of football games. They have not had competent quarterback play in a very long time. The last Super Bowl that they won with Peyton Manning was not a Peyton Manning playing exceptionally well. The Super Bowl they lost was with Peyton Manning playing exceptionally well. I think if they can get competent quarterback play with a good defense, great defensive mind leading a very talented group, I will take the Broncos, and I think the Broncos are going to be a lot better than people think this year with Flacco. He doesn't get enough credit for what he did, taking the Ravens to a lot of wins. So there you go.
Alrighty then.
There you go.
That's your
picks.
First taste. We just gave you the taste of the week.
Who's
one in the NFL?
All right, NFL kicks off tonight, 5:20, Packers at Bears. You can do your own NFL pick'em at 1080thefan.com. It is brought to you by Encore Audio Video. You also have a chance to win a surround sound system and a Blu-ray player. Encore Audio Video is located at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. If you're going to build your own home theater system, there's no better place to start than a free consultation at their showroom. All righty, we need to get back into the P1 social, and the question for today was, is there a better weekend of sports than opening weekend of the NFL? You've also got high school football this weekend. Ryan Buckley and I will be doing the game cast for the Clark County Game of the Week. Cam, you'll be coaching. Dusty will be coaching. And we have week 2 of college football. Anything better than that? You tell us. 55305, Better You Did A text line right here on Dusty and Cam in the Morning. This is 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hera. This seems to be a weekly occurrence as of late, and I'm very happy to be here, especially on such an exciting day. Football.
You know, I was thinking, Luke, if pattern follows, you'll be with us on Monday too, because you did the day before the day before, then you did the day before, now you did the day of. You would have to be the first day after football to react, so... We'll see you Monday.
Or Tuesday after Monday Night Football.
Or Tuesday after Monday Night Football.
Get in the rotation.
Yeah, we'll have to do the day after next. And then the day after that. And then Eventually, I'll be doing the game the day with no games in professional sports. I'll end up doing the day after the All-Star game, which is the only day in professional.
It's so great.
No professional sports play. We'll just eventually we'll just take over this thing. It'll be the Luke show, and we'll
I'll sit back and relax. You go, baby.
Let's do it.
You just rock some talk.
We will rock some talk. Right now, we want to get back into our question of the day. You and I sat down this morning and we looked at everything that's going on in sports this weekend. You've got the U.S. Open. You've got this kickoff of NFL weekend. You've got pennant races in baseball. You've got college football. There's a Timbers match. But the start of the NFL season, is there a better sports weekend than the kickoff to the NFL football season? And my reason why? Hope.
Hope.
Hope. Everybody has hope. Mm-hmm. Everybody with their office pool and their fantasy football team and their team and the changeover. The NFL is the one league where every year you're going to get at least five teams that change from playoff team to non-playoff team and vice versa. You're going to have new teams in there. There's no other league, I think, that inspires more hope for your team than the NFL. There's Raiders fans barking today. That's a playoff team. I don't know if that's true, but hey, right now everybody's 0-0. What was it like getting ready for week one of the NFL season when you played?
There's Cleveland fans getting. I mean, Cleveland. No, the Cleveland's going to be better. You're right.
Was there ever a year when you played where you played game week one where you didn't think you were going to be a playoff team?
No. That's part of, I mean, as reality sets in around October and November. But as from a fan or a player perspective, it is two different. I mean, one's a job. The other one is just, it's your livelihood. It's because you love it. I mean, it is. I mean, there's everybody right now is so excited. Even if you were a casual football fan, and that's kind of what fantasy football has done for all of us, has made us become casual football fans because it gets us involved. But you're not going to argue all you want. You can. But it's going to be very difficult to sell me or anybody else that loves football that there's a better weekend because of the reason you said. You're all in. It's the sport with 16 weeks, and every week means everything. And MLB, every week?
Nope.
Basketball? Nope. Hockey? Nope. Timbers? Nope. It doesn't work that way. Because football takes a whole week to get ready, and you sit in there, and you know that you can be a 9-7 team. You can get in at 7-9, Seahawks 2010. You can do it at any point in time. Your team is in. But right now, everybody's in, all 32. But then we can go to college football. We could say college football. Everybody's still kind of around, and you're there. You don't want to get too out on everything. You just kind of temper your expectations, but just be prepared. It could be a long, long stride. You mentioned high school. Everybody from starting from peewee football all the way through NFL, you're all in for the first weekend, and it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't.
Yeah.
You can't find it. You can't make this up. This weekend owns football, and it owns the entire fall. In fact, we're going to have football from here on till February 6th.
Yep.
It's not going to stop, and it's glorious.
It is fantastic. And then first NFL Football Friday kicks off next week. Coverage of high school football both on the Oregon and Southwest Washington games start tomorrow evening. We've got myself doing color commentary, Ryan Buckley doing the play-by-play, swag back for another year with Nemec doing the OSAA game of the week. So next week, or tomorrow, is the official start of full-on Football Fridays. And like you said, it just goes and goes and goes. And as I say that, somebody comes in, Ryder Cup once every 2 years. Shut up.
Ryder Cup's really good.
No, it's good. There's it's really events. Good.
It's one great event, but that does not make it the best sporting weekend.
You can't, and that's why I said earlier in the show that try to argue against it. I mean, I know it's personal, but it really is that if you think of being all in or having the chance, an event is not, this isn't just an entire fan base. This is an entire country.
Well, one of the
is all in for this weekend.
One of the ones that has come up is March Madness. March Madness is a great weekend. Thursday through Saturday, through Sunday, you've got 100 games that play, and you have all of these teams are in, but you don't have the loyalty to those teams, the upsets, the George Masons and the Labradors from directional state college that come out and play and have this magical weekend. Those are not the ones that you have loyalty to, man. There's there's as much NFL gear that is worn around this country as anything else. And you see those teams. And right now, everybody's feeling it. And we did our fantasy football draft a few weeks ago with the fan. You have those guys that are going out there. It's just, it's the start of something.
Yeah.
And I think that that right now, it's just, it's the beginning of fall. It's football season.
Well, the smell of it, too. And I think that just when you get into this weekend, and it's not just mentioning NFL football, because this kind of brings it all, it wraps it all together, but with even your local high schools and your junior programs. But when you think of Friday, what do you think of? You think of that feeling of that high school football. Then you carry it over into that chance when you get a chance, if you're a good enough player, that you get invited to go to the Ducks game. And you get, so you play your Friday night football game and you have a game of the week. And then you get in your car the next morning, you drive down and you go watch a Ducks game or you watch a Beavers game. And then you see that. And then you come home after a great weekend, a great day on Saturday. And then you come and you wake up and you watch NFL football on Sunday. I mean, that doesn't, I mean, it just, it takes your breath away. It gives me a little, you got to get a little verklempt.
It's good.
The memories, and that's just kind of what football brings. And it only happens on this weekend where you're all in.
Yeah.
And, of course, you'll carry that into the next weekend, and then you'll be the Browns, and you'll lose four in a row. And then you'll be the Detroit Lions, and you'll get to November, and you still can't win.
Yeah.
But you love it.
Yeah, it's great. I can't wait for it. NFL kicks off tonight, 199th meeting between the Packers and the Bears to kick off the 100th season of NFL football. Should be a great game. Better be a great game. Don't let me down, Packers, Bears.
Yeah. Bears.
Be great. All right. We have been talking about this all week, whether you're on the radio or not, a big conversation around the loss of the Ducks to Auburn. It led to a lot of conversation about the perception of the Pac-12, and we have one Pac-12 coach weighing in on it. We'll read you Jimmy Lake's comments, a guy that has coached on the East Coast, and why the perception of the Pac-12 is what it is. We'll have that conversation next. But first, a thrilling, enthralling, fantastic SportsCenter update from Ryan Buckley. Does anything get you more fired up for the first day of NFL football than Bruce Hornsby?
Hey, I got some trivia for you this weekend.
Yeah?
Did you know there will be somebody that will start at quarterback? And if I told you that quarterback is going to set an NFL record this weekend, who would it be?
Shortest quarterback in NFL history, Kyler Murray.
Ryan Buckley, do you have a guess? He's going to set an NFL record.
Oh, I've got a guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Ryan Fitzpatrick starting for the most teams.
Ding, ding, ding.
Boom.
And how many teams will that be?
Five? Six?
Eight.
Eight?
Eight.
Jeez.
Eight.
Is this opening day starts or is this? Okay, just starts overall. Eight.
Oh, you son of a...
We can't talk about the Dolphins.
You set that up.
His punchable moment right here. Sorry, folks.
Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Oh, there you go.
That's in your head the rest of the day. Hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Fitz Magic, is going to start for his eighth team. I've said this before. I was with him as a rookie when he started for us, for the Rams.
Well, there you go.
That sucker's been playing that long.
What are the,
that is crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Do you have the eight teams in front of you? So we know Tampa Bay, Jets, Dolphins.
Houston. Wait. Jets, they do Houston.
Rams.
Tampa Bay. Did you already say Tampa Bay?
Yeah, Tampa Bay, I've got that.
Bills.
That's right, Bills. Did he start in Houston?
We said that. Yeah, we said Houston. Okay. We got them all right there already. Rams.
No,
you already
eight.
Said Rams.
That's only like six. Oh, geez, Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing us off the rails. That is a lot.
Sorry, I thought that was important.
No.
You just wanted to have that.
No, I love it.
In order, you've got Rams, Bengals, Bills, Titans, Texans, Jets, Bucks, Dolphins.
Look at that.
I would have not gotten Bengals. That I cannot picture. That's a beardless Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I kind of forgot the Titans, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say Titans, but then I was thinking that I was picturing Houston for some reason.
Sure.
But, yeah, no.
Good for him, Ryan Fitzmagic. Seven kids.
Jeez.
And all seven kids born in different states.
Wow.
How about that?
This guy's just like a walking trivia test.
It's not just Fitzmagic on the football field. It's Fitzmagic at home, too.
And did you know that he went to Harvard? Because they love bringing that up.
Yeah, he's a big-time Wonderlic guy.
Yeah.
Perfect score on the Wonderlic. Yeah. All right.
How'd you do on your Wonderlic, Cam?
I don't remember.
Yes, you
27
do. You don't
or talk something. About it. 27. I gave up. Halfway. I was like, this is crap. What do I need this for?
All right. Pac-12 has a perception problem. We're all well aware of that out here on the West Coast. When we're not, you know, out hiking or kayaking or doing whatever, we like to gripe about how the Pac-12 doesn't get enough respect. Mm-hmm. Defensive coordinator for your Washington Huskies was asked the question about the perception problem that the Pac-12 is mm-hmm. facing right now. The loss of Oregon, Oregon to Auburn did not help those things. And I will read you what Jimmy Lake had to say. Kick off the conversation. He said, you know, I believe that this is a huge question, obviously, but I think we're only the – pause. This is how I would answer this. We're the only Power 5 conference on or out west, and I think there's a huge microscope on us. I lived in Florida, in Tampa, in Detroit. I've been an East Coast guy, and I couldn't stay awake to watch West Coast games. So I know what the East Coast bias is all about. I don't think there's a bigger microscope every time we lose a game against an opponent from anywhere else. That should be the story of this week, is that there's other conferences and a whole bunch of lost a whole bunch of games. If our conference would have lost a whole bunch of those games, there would have been an article after article about how bad the football is out west, but you don't see those articles being written because they won't make sure they keep the East Coast bias up. And so I think there's talented teams out west. I think there's talented players out west. Everything goes in cycles. And I think you'll see as we move forward here that it's more media contrived than actual facts.
Okay.
So what he's kind of saying there is basically is that because the West Coast teams are kind of on an island, mm-hmm. and it's more of a recap perspective on the Pac-12 than a, hey, I saw it live.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't watch the Oregon game live.
Which was the highest rated ESPN or ABC game, I think, ever for a kickoff weekend.
Yeah, but if you didn't watch that entire game and just saw the score, you think, ah, same old Ducks. What you've gotten since the end of the Helfrich era is it's just a team that can't finish. But I think it's more than that. I think you saw in the first half for sure an offensive line pushing one of the best defensive lines in football off their spots. You've seen mm-hmm. the growth of where Mario Cristobal is trying to take this team. Obviously, they still have a little bit more to add. They've missing a lot of pieces at wide receiver. But you've seen a team that went out and was able to establish themselves physically, something you haven't Certainly. Seen from the Ducks. But if you just saw the score and didn't watch the game – now that's a primetime game, so I don't think there's the same excuse.
Right.
But just as a way to kind of bring the conversation around, I mean, do you kind of agree with what he's saying,
Kim? Yeah, I do. I mean, I know the East Coast bias is real. It's not that it's something that everyone tries to bring up. It's a population issue. There's more population on the East Coast, on the Eastern Seaboard. There's just more people. There's more people in the South around that group. There's also lots of reasons why I look at the Pac-12 and say they can't compete right now. Physically. And I know the reason in my mind, so I just know it to my core, is that we have a smaller pool of athletes. I believe that Oregon, Stanford, Washington State have a great first depth. They have no problems. And this is proof, and it showed proof the last two times Pac-12 have played Auburn. Washington has a great first depth. They have a very good offensive line. Quality quarterback, good wide receivers, excellent defense. Same with Oregon. Elite quarterback, unbelievable offensive line, very good defense. What happens every time is that we just don't have the luxury with our Pac-12 teams because we have a smaller pool of athletes. So once you get past the first round of that depth, that's when the SEC and the Southern teams and the Big Ten and some of these other teams can move the needle on you because they have the depth to be able to handle it. They can have an injury, quote unquote injuries, like you have with wide receivers, and they can go next man up better than you can here in this conference. And it is just a personnel issue. You know, these teams, the Pac-12 teams, they can hang. You can hang for three quarters. You can hang and then you get in the fourth and you go, man, what happened to Oregon? They got pushed around in the fourth quarter with fatigue and depth. You want to say it was the wide receivers? Okay. You got pushed around. And that's what happened to Washington also when you played in Atlanta. And it
also
happened.
Also kicking happened to Washington
yes,
too.
Yes, but depth and some of the mistakes that happens. This is a personnel issue that we have. We don't have enough athletes. I'm going to look, I'll take you into the high schools. You know, it used to be high schools. You could have 120 kids on a team. You'll be lucky at your local high school to get 50 right now. The kids are just not playing. Now, there's going to be a shift, like Jimmy Lake just said. He said there are talented teams out west, and the cycle is going to move back. Football is cyclical. It always does that. And when we start to get a little bit more athletes and the kids are playing a little bit more, the Pac-12 is going to benefit. But right now, we're just behind in depth.
Yeah.
And that is my true belief of where we're at. Physically, we can handle it for a while. It just doesn't hold up long enough.
Worst loss of the weekend was Tennessee to Georgia State. They, I think the SEC lost in total four games to non-Power 5 conferences. The Big Ten had some bad losses. You saw other conferences, and I think what Jimmy Lake is also saying there is that because the Pac-12 is down now, every loss matters more. And you can win one-off football games if you play the perfect game. Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl against against Oklahoma is a perfect example. If everything breaks right, you're going to win big games, right?
Yeah.
But what the Pac-12 needs to do is they need to not only win some of those big games, which they haven't been doing, they need to start winning consistently to pull themselves out of it. Oregon right. beat Florida State in the first college football playoff.
Did. Thumped them.
But then that depth plays in, especially in the college football playoff, when you have to play two big time teams back to back weeks. That makes it incredibly depth. So a one off, the Ducks can go in with the even the old regime where it's small, lighter guys getting out on the edges. Yeah. Mark Helfrich went in and they dominated Florida State.
Right.
But when you have to do it back to back weeks, it makes it that much more difficult.
And I made this point yesterday, and I've always felt true to this, is currently a Georgia, an Alabama, Ohio State, and a Clemson. They're too deep in the Pac-12. If you just took their too deep, just Georgia's too deep, Alabama's too deep, Clemson's too deep, Ohio State's too deep. If you took their second team and put them in the Pac-12, they would finish fifth or sixth, somewhere in there. They would finish right in that middle, they would be Cal. They would currently, and that's no disrespect to Cal, but we're talking consistent play over a season. They would be right in that realm. If you took Washington's twos, Oregon's twos, Stanford's twos, they would finish dead last in every one of those conferences. That is the difference right now. And there we have it.
Well, there you go. Let's put a bow on the show. We'll wrap things up and we'll get you ready for a day of football. It is the kickoff for the NFL season, so you don't have to turn the dial from the Fan to get ready for Bears Packers or for the weekend of college football and NFL that is to come. We'll wrap it up next right here on Destiny and Cam in the morning. This is 1080 The Fan. All right, final segment here of Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Luke Anderson filling in. Dusty will be back tomorrow for your football Friday.
Football Thursday, too.
It's football every day now. I mean, listen, with all three seasons in, high school football, Friday nights in the Fan, college football, Ducks, Beavers, and the NFL, it's every day. It's football every day until, like you said, February, probably until April when we get to the NFL draft. There's plenty of things to talk about, and I'm very excited for the NFL season to start. Who are you taking in the – who's your Super Bowl team? Who's your way too early? Who's winning the Super Bowl, Cam?
Oh, this – if you put me on the spot right now?
Yeah, I was going to.
Saints, Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Ooh, that'd be a one to watch.
I got the Chiefs in. I got the Chiefs winning.
Chiefs beating the Saints in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's funny. I had a buddy ask me that the other day, and I hadn't really given any thought to how I thought the playoffs were going to play out or whatnot, and my kind of knee-jerk reaction was Chiefs over the Eagles. In the
Super Bowl. Ooh, good pick. Eagles. All right. All right. I have no idea.
I think the chefs are going to get it done this year.
Oh, come on. You got to pick someone, Luke.
That's what I'm saying.
We didn't prep anything.
Throw
let's
that
go.
Out there.
Let's see. You're both taking the Chiefs. I hate to put the Patriots back in there. Let's go.
Just because?
No. Well, no. I hate to do it. But, I mean, listen. They've got another weak division. The Patriots benefit from playing the worst division in football. Minus they are the Clemson of professional football. The Clemson gets to play through the ACC schedule.
Yes,
the Patriots get to play through the AFC East, and I don't think they're getting a whole lot better. But I will put the Chargers and put the Seahawks back in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's do it. So who's bringing it home, that Lombardi trophy?
Philip Rivers?
No. I'm going to go Seahawks.
You homered.
All right.
You homered that up, and I can appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, my other instinct was to go Rams or Cowboys, and I'm like, I can't pick either of those two teams. Yeah, get out of here. I don't think the Eagles, and I don't think the Saints. The Saints are always going to be stepchildren in my mind now.
Really?
Well, because of the reaction to losing.
They're a little sensitive but you would be too.
They have cursed their own city with sending congressional demands to Roger Goodell that he needs to appear on the steps of Washington. And you need to explain how it can happen that an official can make a bad call that doesn't actually decide the game, but we think it did, and we're going to complain even though there was an interception thrown in overtime. I mean,
FYI, that play changed football. Forever.
It did. We're going to get the instant replays. And not for the better.
It's my Sandlot. Forever.
Yeah, pass interference challenges for the first time this season.
One play changed football forever.
It did.
Good on you, Saints.
Good on you. Mm-hmm. Really, do you want to watch a bunch of pass interference? It's going to be the pass interference instant replays. But they're going to be the out-of-bounds replays in the NBA. Where you look at it and you go, all right, who was the last one to hit the ball out of bounds?
Oh.
And you see nine fouls.
I'm going to tell you right now, that out of bounds is the reason why Damian Lillard hit that shot against OKC, by the way. That little where the hand was.
Yeah.
I mean, the Blazers don't get the ball back after that.
But you watch those replays and there's always a foul and there's always the weirdest angles and you're trying to figure out a judgment call on it. And now you're going to have instant replay of pass interference, which will be even worse than that because it'll be hand fighting and you'll see the offensive player push off and you're trying to decide if the defensive player actually had pass interference on it and you can't reverse the call and call it the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be ugly. The whole thing's going to be awful. I'm not excited about it. Did you see the Browns punter? He's waiting to see if he makes the team.
I saw how he celebrated, though.
And he goes to the bar drinking with his dad and just waiting until he finds out.
Wait for the call. Celebrate with the fans.
Made the team celebrate at the bar with the entire bar.
It's wonderful.
That.
Well, and I guess some people there were diehard enough that they recognized him. And so they were talking to him just about punting in the NFL. I think he's Australian or he's an Aussie rules guy.
Yeah.
And so they had developed this liking to him while he was waiting for this call. So then he had people like mobbing him when he finally did get that call.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool moment. Find out you're making the team and you're on an NFL roster, even though he's a punter, which is better than a kicker.
Punter.
Nice job, you kicker.
Not a kicker. It's a punter.
Punter. Punters are okay, even though you choke slammed a punter once upon a time.
Might have got aggressive. I know.
Oh, that's fantastic. Also, the other one I wanted to bring up, this is a kicker. Oh. Did you see the Nevada kid got a scholarship?
I did. After he missed a game-winning field goal?
56-yarder to win the game against Purdue.
That was awesome.
And then after the game, gets a game ball.
Awesome.
Gets a full-ride scholarship. So there you go. Your big moments for punters and kickers this week. That's how we wrap it up. All right. So Packers, Bears tonight.
Packers.
Going to be fantastic. Nevada, big upset win in week one, taking on Oregon. Oregon needs a get-right game after that loss to Auburn, so it should be a fantastic game. And, of course, I mean, tune into Facebook this weekend.
Tune in.
9 p.m. kick at Hawaii. I will not be here for Football Friday, but I will be back Saturday morning. Sinner and Saint start Ducks game day coverage. Buck, are you joining us for weather?
Weather and traffic, baby.
Weather and traffic with Ryan Buckley. And catch the inaugural debut kickoff of Clark County High School football with Ryan Buckley and myself tomorrow night.
You two guys.
Well, Buck's doing double dipping. He's doing the morning show and finishing up the broadcast day for the fan.
Let's go.
All day.
Let's go.
Burn the candle at both ends.
All right. I will see you the next time I'm on, guys. Thanks, as always. Appreciate you having me on. Stick around for Colin. Dirt and Sprague, primetime, get you ready for the kickoff of NFL football this season. 100th season of the NFL. We're all done. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the
the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.